Good to see everybody out this morning. Always wonderful to be able to come together and study as we've been given this opportunity to do so. Truly, always enjoy coming together to worship, praise God, remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us. It's been a few weeks, but a while back in our Bible class here in the adult class, we got caught up and discussing the last theme of the Holy Spirit, talking about what it says there is to being unforgiven, unforgivable. And we discussed this on the, I believe it's kind of left open still. Here I go ahead and try to present a lesson on it. Go ahead and talk about the last theme of the Holy Spirit. Of course, I brought out my point of view of what I believe is saying. Go ahead and start off with that. Is that I believe what it is getting to, or at least it's getting to, as we look to it, that it's making the point that we had Moses, we had the prophets, that they had the opportunity to listen to them, they had the opportunity to listen to Christ. The last to come is the Holy Spirit. And then judgment. There is no thousand-year reign at the end of time, and Jesus is going to give us once more another opportunity to be saved. There is no next thing coming after the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the last to come. And so the point being is that once we turn our backs on the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, that there is no opportunity after that. There is no, you end up in hell and you have the opportunity to be forgiven. You get a second chance after judgment. That's it. That's the end. There is going to be nothing after the Holy Spirit. We know that they prophesied and told the apostles that God would send them a helper. Who's that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come and help them, remind them of the things they need to speak, to write. And so the Holy Spirit came after Christ. But after the Holy Spirit, nothing else. And so I believe when we talk about blasphemy, and I know that the word in itself, that lesson, the word itself, talk means about what we say. I believe it's more than that when we look into the context of unforgivable. And it's the point that once you fully turn your heart from God, which only God knows, then there is no opportunity. Now, I'd like to bring out a lot of verses this morning to go forward and explain why I feel like it is not that if someone just says the Holy Spirit is evil, or the Holy Spirit is bad, or the Holy Spirit is not real. And in that context of blasphemy, it is not unforgivable. So I hope that you open up your Bibles all along. And again, if you feel that I am misspeaking, please come let me know. Let us study it further. Let us look at the scriptures and more if we need to find and come to the truth of the Word of God. But I hope to further help understand what it is being said in the Word of God. So the first thing we'll look at is look at a definition, and we look to the Charles Concordance, looking at the Greek word. I'm going to throw that up here, and I'm going to try to pronounce the Greek and how it originally, but very similar spelling there. But if you were to get your Charles Concordance out, if you have like each word or something on your phone or on your computer or something, bring this up, G987, which is the definition of the Greek word that you're looking at. It's just to vilify, specifically to speak, and positive, and implicitly. Blaspheme, defame, rail on, revile, speak evil. So the word in itself, as we look at it, would be manner of what comes out of our mouth. And in point, as it's going into, to rail on, to revile, speak evil of. And even one of the verses we're going to look at, it even makes point of that, to speak bad of, or speak evil of. And so let's go ahead and I want to look at those verses that Jesus says. I want to look at them into the point of what our Lord and Savior is talking about, why that got brought up at that time, and point of why Jesus brought this into the scenario. So we'll start off in Matthew 12, if you've got your Bibles. Matthew 12, and looking, starting there in verse 22, it says, then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him so that the man spoke and saw. So here a man was possessed. A man had a demon in him, and he could not speak. And Jesus, he cast him out. He healed this man. And so in verse 23, all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man cast out demons." Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?" And so what we're getting to here as we're leading up to Jesus saying it in verse 32, where he actually says the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is that because they were saying Jesus has cast out a demon because he is possessed by a demon, or because he is the prince of demons himself, because he is Satan. And so that's what they were trying to get caught up in saying. It is by the Spirit. Now, do they, again, as we try to look at the word when we sit in class, remember, we try to, well, what does it mean to be people of? Does it mean you specifically have to say, the Holy Spirit is whatever you speak and will say? Well, here they're not doing that. They're not directly saying, the Holy Spirit is evil. The Holy Spirit is Satan. But just looking at Jesus and what he was doing, accusing him of doing this by the power of Satan instead of by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's actually how he is doing this. He's doing this by the Spirit. Verse 28 says, "But if by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods and first bind a strong man? Then indeed may plunder his house." So here the point is that they were trying to say by Satan they cast out Satan's spirit demons. But it was by the Spirit of God. They weren't technically out of their mouth saying the Holy Spirit is evil, but also accusing by the power of which Jesus was doing these works that was blasphemous. And so when we get to verse 31, it says, "Therefore I tell you, every sin is blasphemy, and blasphemy will be forgiven to people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." But here they were speaking a word against Christ, right? They were speaking, Jesus is casting out demons by Satan. And so therefore, while accusing Jesus of this wrongdoing, they were also accusing the Holy Spirit being Satan. And so, may not be a direct blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but was in perspective of, it was by the Holy Spirit. So I want to make the point that it's not always just a direct evil speak of the Holy Spirit that is going to be what is blasphemy. And again, we continue. In Mark chapter 3, it's very similar as we look over here. Mark 3 and verse 22 through 30. Mark 3 and starting in verse 22. Again, it says, "The scribes who came down from Jerusalem saying he is possessed," again, "by the Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he cast out demons." And verse 23, "called him and said to him, how can Satan cast out?" So same thing here. Same thing as we look at these verses as we read in Matthew. And so we look down at the context, verse 28, "truly I said to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of men, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of eternal sin, for they were saying he has an unclean spirit." So again, it's because of what he was doing. And so here it goes a little further in the context. It says that they actually did say that he had an unclean spirit, that he was doing this again by who? Satan, by the prince of demons. That was the spirit that was inside him, not the Spirit of God. Not the Holy Spirit was dwelling within our Lord and Savior. So again, you don't ever see that there was a direct statement that the Holy Spirit is Satan. The Holy Spirit is. And I think that's the way we have a mindset when we say blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But I tell you, I believe it's more than just directly having to say the Holy Spirit and speaking evil or speaking evil of. And it goes along with, as we speak of our Lord and Savior, it goes along with, as we speak of the Word of God, it goes along with, as we speak about God. Now, I'll bring out more verses where I'll do that as we continue in the lesson. So again, Luke chapter 12, turn along with me there. Luke chapter 12, and this is a little different scenario, but continuing on the same point. Luke 12, in verse 8, says, "And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angel of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angel of God." I want to stop there because, again, as we look at these verses, and we say, Jesus said, you can blaspheme me and be forgiven, but not the Holy Spirit. And yet we have another verse here that says, if you deny me, I will deny you. And so, again, I think all the same point that if we die, if our hearts are truly set against Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and God, then you do not have forgiveness. You set yourself up for eternal punishment. Because if we deny Christ, and we don't ever repent of that, then you die in that sin. And the same thing is continuing on. I know it goes in verse 10, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogue and the rulers of the authority, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So here again, Peter bows in his disciples. And he tells them, you are going to know what to say. Why? How? The Holy Spirit will be with you. And so why bring up the last of the Holy Spirit? Because it's going to take the fame, then when they teach the laws of Christ, when they teach baptism, when they teach the truth, when they teach the chief cornerstone, and they deny what they are teaching, they are denying the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They are going against the Holy Spirit. They're not going against the men. That's how it looks. But in all essence, they're denying the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is guiding them and inspiring them in what to say and what they are to do and what they are to teach. And so that's, again, as we look at these three points, when Jesus makes this point, it's broader than just saying evil things of the Holy Spirit. It's more than that. It goes into that. And they use it more than that. I want to look at a couple other times that Jesus and other disciples of our Lord and Savior was accused of blaspheming God. That it wasn't because Jesus went forth and just spoke evil of God. It wasn't because his disciples just spoke evil of Moses. But because they were teaching things against the law of God. Against what they believed was against the law of God. What they believed was wrong. What they wanted to hear. And so we'll get a couple examples with you here. Matthew chapter 9, 1 through 3. Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 1, says, "And getting into the boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on the bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven.' And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This man is what? Is blasphemy.'" So again, we want to see how they use the word. Just as we talked about in our class this morning, we say "I love you" to a variety of people, but we have different meanings within "I love you." The love we have for ourselves, the love we have for our children, the love we have for our neighbor, the love we have for our enemies. The love we have for one another, and using that word "love" differently, with a greater meaning, greater context to it. So, I believe the same thing as we look here. Jesus wasn't speaking evil of anyone. But because he said, "I forgive your sins." Again, no man should be equal to God. That was blaspheming against God. But Jesus is deep. And so, it wasn't blaspheming for him's sake. It would be for us. It would be for me to sit here and say, "I forgive your sins," because I don't have that power. So again, looking at the context, again, it's the same thing in Mark chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Also, look with me in Matthew 26, when Jesus is on trial. Matthew 26 and verse 65. Again, as Jesus is here, he's going trial. Verse 54, go up to that. Jesus said to them, you have said so. What did he say so? Go back to verse 54. For the last part, I drew you by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to them, you have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated in the right hand of power, the coming of the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, he has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do you need? You have now heard the blessing. Again, not because he just spoke evil and vile and just spoke all kinds of bad things about God. But because, again, he says, yes, I am the Son of God. Yes, I'm going to have power. Yes, I'm going to be with the Lord. Oh, Lord. Again, for us to say such a thing, because I don't have the power. I'm not equal to God, because I wasn't there in the beginning of creation. And so blasphemy goes beyond just that. Again, in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 33. John 10 and in verse 33 here, it says, then, or the Jews answered him, it is not for good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, it is not written, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word God came, the scripture cannot be broken. Do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blasphemy because I said, I am the Son of God? Again, the continuous point, continuous same time, same thing he said in different situations, that they continue to try and say Jesus was blaspheming because he was claiming to be the Son of God, because he was claiming to be the Christ, because he was going to sit at the right hand of power in heaven. Again, it's not always just because of speaking evil. Again, in Acts chapter 6, we see it when it comes to Stephen. Acts chapter 6, as he proclaimed our Lord and Savior, as he went forward, and we know that he goes forward in chapter 7 to give a full statement about his faith in Moses and Abraham. But here, that you know, again, he's preaching our Lord and Savior. And so in verse 11, it says, they secretly instigated men who would say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Because what? Because again, Jesus is the Son of God, because Jesus fulfilled the prophecies. Well, what part would they use of his teachings that were actually people speaking? So again, I believe when we say someone's blasphemy against God, against the Holy Spirit, against Christ, if you're teaching against the words of God, if you're teaching false doctrine, if you go against what he has told you to do, that is blasphemous. By examples through the scripture that we have, that is exactly what blasphemy is. It's those who speak in error of what is the truth and our Lord is saying. So I want to take time to look at these scriptures that point about who the Holy Spirit is. And there's so much more that I could look in here and talk about the Holy Spirit, because I believe you can overlook the Holy Spirit a lot. But understand what all the Holy Spirit relates to. He relates to creation. He relates to creation. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, you go back to the very beginning. It says, the earth was without form and void and darkness over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And so again, if we start to speak evil of creation, if we start to speak the billion years that it took to build it, if we start to say it was because of the Big Bang, is that not blasphemy? Would that not be evil speaking against what he had done in creating his heart, in creating the world with the Father and the Son? Even mankind, if we get caught up and talk about our creation. Because if you go to Genesis 1, 26, 27, you go to the Lord and say, let us make man in our image. Who's speaking? God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're all three there in the beginning. They're all three there in the days of creation.
And so to say that we just evolve over millions of years would be blasphemous against the Holy Spirit. It would. The birth of Christ. Anyone who denied the birth of our Lord and Savior would be blaspheming against the Holy Spirit also. And in Matthew 1 and verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. To deny the birth of our Lord and Savior, and that he was born of the Virgin, and that how he was deemed to be upon this earth, was being blasphemed in the Holy Spirit. Even John Baptist, if you turn to Luke chapter 1, as Mary goes, you know, the angel goes to both of the parents, and Mary comes to visit, and it says she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she ended up prophesying. Again, to speak against these things would be blasphemous against the Holy Spirit. Because he had far in. He had far in the birth of our Lord's Savior. He had far in our strong baptism. He was full of the Holy Spirit from birth. So it would be blasphemous against the baptism of our Lord's Savior. Because, again, the Holy Spirit was there. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Matthew 3 and verse 13, and Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus answered him, let it be now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all the righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and coming to rest on him. Behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I have well pleased. You know, the Holy Spirit is there. The image of a dove. The baptism of our Lord and Savior. To go forth and deny the example that our Lord and Savior has given to us. In being baptized, he didn't have the sense that he didn't be forgiven, but he set the example that we should follow in his steps and showing us in the way in which we should go. Time and again, we see the Holy Spirit through the scriptures. Jesus, in this very next chapter, being led into the wilderness, we are already into the miraculousness of Jesus being alive after being fasted 40 days, 40 nights. And he goes into the wilderness being hungry and overcoming these temptations. But read what it says. It says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit has power. The Holy Spirit is continuously in it. And I ask him, where do we draw the line on what is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? And again, as much as people do deny some of the stuff here, are we saying that they that they have no opportunity for salvation if they deny these things? Christ's sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Here again, it says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So, getting to the point, you know, in verses 12 and 13, going through talking about the blood of goats and how they may sacrifice under the old law, and that pushed off their sins, is how they continue to be faithful to God. It says, how much more? Our sacrifice of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Again, to deny our Lord and Savior would be deny the Holy Spirit. I don't believe you can blaspheme one without blaspheming the other. Because they are one, to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and say that they were all there. They're going out one Spirit, one Father above all, and all, and above all.
against there are three separate and one that we can see the Father, Son, Holy Spirit there in the beginning. We can see them all three there at the baptism of Jesus.
But we need to understand that he's there part of the sacrifice. Part of the resurrection.
Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans 8, looking at starting in verse 9. It says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but of the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ in you, although the body is dead, because in sin the Spirit is life because of righteousness, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Again, we look at the resurrection of Christ. We look how we are raised up out of the water when we are baptized in Spirit. We are resurrected into the earth. To teach against it, to teach falsely about it, would be impossible. Would be speaking evil of the Word of God. Go against what He has instructed must be done, had been done for our salvation.
The miracles.
We're going to talk about Jesus and the demons and what He was doing. He says He did through what? Through the Spirit. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and you see what they were able to do against the Holy Spirit as they went forth and performed these things. 1 Corinthians 12, you start in verse 1, talk about the spiritual gifts. And verse 3 says, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is the first. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. Now there is varieties of gifts, but of the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but of the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but of the same God who empowers them all and everyone to teach, to give a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. So anyone with denied miracles, gifts of the healing, speaking in tongues, the knowledge and wisdom of the apostles and the prophets, would be blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Would be speaking against the Holy Spirit. Again, you don't want to speak against the Bible. Anyone who would speak against the Bible, again, go back, they were given the Holy Spirit when they went forth and spoke, when they went forth and taught. He told them, when you go out, the Holy Spirit will tell you, guide you what you need to say. Don't worry about what you need to say. What? The Holy Spirit will tell you what you need to say. That's what we've got to say in Timothy 3 and verse 15 and 17, which tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Every single Scripture we got is given by the Spirit of God. They were inspired by the Lord. He guided them in what they needed to say. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And looking at verse 19. It says, and we have no prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Anyone to deny the Bible, anyone to speak falsely of it, anyone to actually take from, would be blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Because that is how we got them. That is who inspired these men to write for us. That's how we have the words of God.
Again, our salvation. Because as you turn to Matthew 28, verse 19, where it tells us to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He's part of our salvation. We cannot deny it. We need to make sure we give thanks to Him. There are a variety of ways, I believe, in which many get caught up in blaspheming against the Holy Spirit without recognizing that they are. I want to end with another point of, the unforgivable former blasphemers. Look at a couple of examples here, mainly Paul. As we look at his example here, in 1 Timothy 1:13, we can point out, yes, it was mainly, I would have to say, just like many accusations, would be blaspheming against our Lord and Savior. 1 Timothy 1:13. It says, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorance and unbelief. So he admits to being a former blasphemer. Again, blaspheming of who? Oh, Christ. He was trying to keep that from being taught. He did many things against Christ, right? Acts 26:9-11. He brings that out. He's on trial. He says, you guys know who I am. You go get the high priest. You go get all these people. They know who I am. They know what I used to do. They know that I was highly against the teaching of Christ. I was dragged him out. I sent letters to Stephen to go to Damascus, and I was taken back, thrown to prison. I was there when Stephen was crucified, was stoned to death. He persecuted him to death. But again, would that not be also blaspheming and trying to stop the Holy Spirit? Because Stephen would have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And go forth and try to deny the teachings that it is trying to teach others about our Lord and Savior, about what they have done for us. And again, I'll give you an example of Acts chapter 5. We both people know the story of Ananias' heart. That they both decided that they would lie about how much they sold their house for. And therefore claim that they were giving everything that they sold their house for, their land, the property, everything. But still keep them back to themselves. And when they had done this, they approached Peter, the apostle of the Lord. Acts chapter 5. And you read with me verse 3. Says, but Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? And again, verse 4, at the very end, says, you have not lied to me, but to God. And who were they lying to? They were lying to Peter. But Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And they were claiming to be given it to God and the treasury that said, help the saints. So therefore, they were lying to the Spirit, and they were lying to God, while they were still lying to people. Paul was born blessed. And yet he received grace and mercy. I do have a couple other examples of unforgivable words in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 10, turn along with me there. Hebrews 10:26. The reader says, for if you go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but fearful expectation, judgment, and a fury of fire will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses died without mercy on evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who trampled underfoot the Son of God that profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? Again, it's kind of making that point, outraged the Spirit of grace, that when you do this to Christ, how do you think the Spirit feels about it? But it makes the point at the beginning is you go on sinning. Again, I think that's the key point that we have to look at when we talk about being unforgivable, about not being able to return back to God, about not being able to have that home in heaven. It's one who continues to go on without repentance and asking.
for forgiveness. They have received the truth, and they have turned back into the world. They have received the truth, and yet they deny Christ. They have received the truth, but they threw the words of the Holy Spirit to the side. They set themselves up. Again, it's brought out in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened," so someone who knows the truth, who has obeyed the gospel, "who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt." Here it says, one who has already received the grace of God and has fallen away, it's impossible to make Him repent. And yet, if we hold those for word, it goes against what the other words say. Glory to God. The reason we talk about these in the adult class, Matthew 18, brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. And he hears you, you have gained your brother back. And so, again, in the point that say that you cannot be forgiven, but then you have a part that tells you, go and warn them, go and tell them. Why? So that you can gain them back. We talk about 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5, where it's a very evil sin that's taking place as a man is with his father's mother, or his father's wife. His father's wife. In 1 Corinthians. And it says, deliver him up to Satan. And why? Why do we do that? So that hopefully he'll repent with the same spirit. So again, that they deny the Lord, but then you deliver them over, hopefully they're ashamed of their sin. They have forgiveness, they repent of their sins, and they turn back to God. We got the example in Luke 15, the whole chapter again, talking about the lost blood. Lost sheep, the lost son, the lost coin. Again, when you talk about the sheep, 99 and 1, one that was in the flock has strayed away. So there's not one who's never obeyed God, there's one that was in the flock. And it has strayed away. Let's talk about going and finding and bringing him back and rejoicing once found. Talking about the lost son, who was his son, we are children of God. But when all the way, he has separated himself. And at that time, the one who dies in sins, he cannot be forgiven. But until he dies in sins, until he dies in that situation, he has the opportunity to turn back as he did. And the Father is even joyful, with tears in his eyes, running to him to receive him and fully welcome him back as a child of God. So I believe through these tears, it kind of, to me, at least, and again, I'm willing to study further with you if you disagree with me, but I believe the Bible shows us that the last thing of the Holy Spirit is not as you take it directly to that point that you cannot be forgiven at the stage you want. But it is that point that if we deny the Holy Spirit, you don't ever repent of those things. You truly turn your heart from God. None of those people who are in the warfare, I believe they're like the prayer, they're part in their heart, they will not turn back. It doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what you do. Even as the Pharaoh eventually let him go, what does he do? He goes and chases them down. There are people in the world like that, but we don't know who they are. Only God does. Those are those who truly come to that point of forgiveness. But until they die, we cannot give up hope that they can be forgiven and repent of their sins. I don't want to leave without extending the invitation. This morning, talk about salvation a little bit, into the point, talk about Christ giving himself up, what the Holy Spirit done for us. And so if you believe those things, and you're ready to give yourself to God, we encourage you to be baptized and wash your sins. If you're here and you have already done that, any prayer to our nation, if there's anything we can do,